turn my Bible up the right way. Please. Gosh, there's so much to say. And how do you condense volumes of Abraham into 10 minutes, 15 minutes? It's impossible. Okay, quickly, I'll give you a little synopsis of this for those who don't know the story of Abraham. This is just really short. How old was Abraham when God called him? He is pretty old. He was living in the city of Ur, which was very, very wealthy. So today, you're going to move out of your nice warm houses and you're going to move to Iraq. And you're going to live in a tent. And you're going to smell camels every day and sheep every day. You think I'm kidding? What if God told you to do that? Would you do that? I don't know. I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. But Abraham said, okay, here I am, Lord. I will do it. And he packed up all his riches. He packed up his families. He packed up his camels. He packed up everything. And he moved from his wealthy, wealthy country. He was a very wealthy man. He was just prosperous everywhere he went. And here he goes into the dry desert where maybe you'll find some water, maybe not. So he really depended on those camels because, of course, camels don't have to drink that much water. So anyhow, he's old now, right? But he's prospering because he was obedient to God. This is what's really important, is obedience to God. Now listen, we're at the end times when Jesus Christ is returning. How many times do we have to say that? How many times? When is it going to get in our thick skull that it is time to open our mouth and saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am. When are we going to get out there and tell people about Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the answer to everything in this universe. And Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that. And so he brought his entire family out. Now, Abraham was married to Sarah, who was very, very old. I think she was 74 or something when God started talking to them. I think Abraham was about 89. And God came down and told Abraham while he was in his tent, saying, hey, guess what? You're going to be a father of many nations. And he's like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And here's Sarah, and she's behind the curtain, and she's laughing. I'm an old lady by now. Miss Susan, your mama, what if your mama was going to have a baby? God's going to come down and say, you can have a baby. What would you say?
I don't think I could say anything. I'd be so sorry.
How about you, Miss Bonnie?
Huh? I'm too old.
That's what Sarah said. That's what Sarah said, right? Right? You want another baby?
No. 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 No.
No way.
No way. Grandsons. Grandsons, okay. Oh, here's a good couple. Oh, Here's a couple. You're going to have a baby.
Bring it on.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got a winner here. Bring it on, he said. Bring it on. The winners. Praise the Lord. So here they are, very old, obviously past producing children. And God said, you're going to have a baby. And he thought for sure he's never going to have kids. Never. Polygamy in those days, do you know what polygamy means? Multiple spouses. You know, in this case, Sarah, the wife, didn't believe that she can have a baby. So she was going to work it out that Abraham can have that seed carried on. So she said, you can marry my maidservant, Hagar. Polygamy was no big deal in those days, but it was definitely against God's law. Is it against God's law today? It's against God's law, and it always has been. But you know what? Those days were so evil that it was okay. It was nothing. It was no big deal if you had more than one wife. We can't get that way. We can't become a people who just take the law for granted. And here is Sarah, who said, well, I'll help my husband. And we'll do a little, she didn't say this, we'll do a little polygamy. Because in those days, Sarah, it was okay for her to get her servant to sleep with her husband and have a baby. Because that baby would become her baby and she would raise the baby. Y'all with me? Polygamy. You know what happened? The family was destroyed because they went against God's law. Everything became a mess in Abraham's family. A mess. Because they were disobedient. They took the work that God promised them into their own hands and said, I can do it. I'll do it for you. You just go with Hagar, and you have a baby. That's man's work. That wasn't God. And then jealousy started to come in. Well, gee, no kidding. Right? And here's Hagar walking around with her big belly. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, hi, Abraham. I'm your wife, and I'm having your baby. Sarah, I'm having Abraham's baby. I know I'm being theatrical, but that's what the Bible says. That's exactly what she did. So when you read the Bible, go behind the words. Paint a picture of what it was really like. And I'm being theatrical because that's what happened. She boasted. That caused a little bit of problems in the family. A little bit of disturbance, a little bit of waves. Uh-oh. And guess what? She had a boy. Uh-oh, that's worse. Boy, that really caused a lot of problems. I think it would in my family. I don't care. I certainly wouldn't allow that to happen in my life. Don't get any ideas. Amen? Whoa. They went against God. They were disobedient. They were trying to do it on their own. You don't do things on your own. You allow the Holy Spirit to control your life because God is in control. When God says he's going to do something, is he going to do it? You betcha. That's what they say in Minnesota. You betcha. You betcha. 10 years go by. No baby for Sarah. What's up? It's been 10 years. I'm 98 years old. No baby. Uh-oh, no baby. But then, Sarah's so upset, and she's saying, she's being a brat. She's jealous. They're fighting now. And her husband goes, she's your maid. Do what you want with her. Get rid of her. Get rid of her. So the poor thing ran away, went out in the desert and was crying and crying and crying. We know the story, right? I'm just saying it for those who don't know the story. She's out in the desert crying and an angel comes and says, hey, go back. Oh, I don't want to go back. She's a mean woman. She owns you. Get back. Sometimes we don't understand the Bible. Sometimes we don't know God's ways. Sometimes nothing makes sense. But you need to know his voice. You need to hear his voice. How are you going to know his voice? Through the Word of God. The more you read the Word of God, the more you hear the Word of God, the more you hear the Holy Spirit, and the more you understand the voice that you hear, that soft and gentle voice, that you know, that you know, that you know, it's Jesus Christ. No other way. No other way. Except through the Word of God and studying the Word of God. Pastor and I have made we're working on it so that our people, that's you, that every day of the week there will be some kind of Bible study for you to attend. There will not be one day that will go by where you cannot come to a Bible study or our church. Amen? That's a blessing. It's a lot of work on your part, but you've been sitting around here in this pew, and there's indentations in the chair. So it's time that you scoot over and get up because we got work to do. It's almost over. It's almost over. Our generation, my generation, okay, us mature people, okay, we're going to sit back and pray for you younger people. Sarah, Shauna, Kasha. Kasha's a good preacher. Don't let her fool you. She doesn't want to come to church. But one day she'll be preaching. Martha, it's your church. It's their generation that has to carry on. What's your name?
Samariah.
Samariah? Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Welcome. I've never seen you before. Yes. You better not leave because we need you. She's talking about... pray for me because I'm leaving in a year. We're praying for the next year that she can't leave because we need this sister and our brother. This is your church. This is your church. People say, no way. My sister right here, her grandson is 6'5" and still growing. He walked 3 miles in 106-degree weather one Sabbath to come spend the evening with us in Orleans. He loves to come and argue with Pastor about the Bible. He loves it. He just, man, he's right up there. He'll never, he says, never believe. Guess where he's at? He's at Wemart. It's his second session at Wemart. Amen? Wow. Wow. It's your church. It's your generation. Okay, so go on with the story. I'm forgetting now. Okay? We have, where am I with Abraham? Okay. Hagar's going back to that mean old Sarah, okay? And so Sarah is, they just accepted her back. And Sarah gets pregnant, right? Man, she's like in her 90s. She's like 98 years old and she gets pregnant. She gets pregnant really old, you know? She's like, I'm just old, I can't have a baby, and she gets pregnant. God blesses her. Now what happens? She has this baby, right? And it's a boy. And after the boy is through weaning, and he's like 3 or 4 years old, he's playing around with his brother Ishmael, who's already like a teenager or something like that. 11 years old or so, and they're playing. But Sarah says, Abraham, get rid of them. They're making fun of our son. They think that they're going to inherit everything because he's the firstborn. And it was against the law. It was against all the laws of the country never to abuse your maidservant like that. So, all right, what happens next? So Abraham, with a broken heart, knowing that Ishmael is his son, says he's got to get rid of his son and Hagar. And he sends him out to the desert. Hasta la vista. It's been fun. Because God said, you will have a great nation. He is still your seed. Okay, are you with me? Does it make sense? So we're talking about basically an old man and an old woman who are going to give birth. Abraham is the father of us. When we, if we were to track back, all the way back, right? You're a seed of Abraham. Amen? All the promises given to Abraham are your promises. All the examples that Abraham went through are for you. Those promises mean we want your obedience. God wants to hear you say, here I am. Here I am. When I said, here I am, I was bedridden with every bone in my body broken. Here I am. Whatever you can do. Brother, you know that, right? I mean, how can you possibly move when you've got a broken back? Right? Who understands except somebody next to you with a broken back? And Lord have mercy if it rains outside, if you can even stand up. Right? You betcha. Let's all go Minnesotan today. You betcha. Right? So God says he finally has a son. 10 years of peace and tranquility. Oh, Ishmael's gone, Hagar's gone, and I got my son that God promised me. And he's so happy. He's so happy. And of course, do you think Do you think Sarah spoiled her son, Isaac? Huh? Do you think he got a little loved by mom? Okay. So here we go. Get ready. Put your seatbelts on. This is what happened. One day when it's peaceful. Okay. Here comes God. You better watch out when the Holy Spirit comes, because the world's going to change. And you're going to change. And you better say, here I am. Right? You're not listening to me. You're falling asleep. Steve, wake up. Amen. Are you listening, Steve? Okay. What happens is God came down and said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son. I want you to take him up there, and I want you to have a burnt offering, a sacrifice. I want you to sacrifice your son that I promised you, that I gave to you. And I want you to go to Mount Moriah. Or excuse me, the country of Moriah. Now, this is what made me want to share with you. And God inspired me to share on Abraham. I said, why should I share on Abraham? Everybody knows the story about Abraham. How many times has that been preached, right? You guys know the story backwards. But Moriah, the word Moriah, just, I kept telling Pastor, I don't know why this word Moriah is so intriguing to me. And so if you go back with the word Moriah, you know, it's like a girl's name, right? And Moriah means a few things depending on what language, but what it really means is bitterness. Do you know that there's people who are so kind and so loving, but they can be so bitter inside, and you don't even know it, like me? Not them again. What do you want, Lord? Why are you making me do this, Lord? Why do I have to do this all the time, Lord? Why can't she do it? Why do I have to do it, Lord? Come on, you grumpy people. So, here we go. Right? Oh, my goodness. Then what happens? That's right. He said, here I am, Lord, if that's what you want me to do. So he's got to go to Moriah, and God said, I'll tell you what mountain to climb. Do you like to hike? Who's the hikers around here? Ew. How many times has Betty said, oh, after church, let's go walking. I'm sorry. I've done my walking and hiking and gone up mountains. And going up a mountain is not easy. But falling off is so easy. Falling off 1,500 feet is so easy. You know, you can live through it being crushed, every bone in your body broken, right? It's easy to fall. But climbing up that mountain is not easy. They left, and let me tell you, he woke up one morning, and after he said, here I am, and they gathered the wood, they got the fire, they carried the fire stick, you know, like a big match, and he didn't dare wake up Sarah. Oh, no. If she would have known they were going to do a sacrifice, she's like, and he was going to be, her son was going to be the sacrifice, do you think she'd let him go? Do you think there'd be an argument? Oh, wow. That would have been a disaster. So I could imagine Abraham sneaking around in the morning, trying not to wake her up, right? Oh, my goodness. This woman's going to turn into an absolute monster if she finds out what's going on. And they did sacrifices a lot in those days, right? I mean, if they had to, they did them every day. But they did them on holidays, special occasions, births, birthdays, you name it. Whatever they celebrated, they had a sacrifice. So here we are, a 20-year-old young man, the promised son, and he's going to be sacrificed. God brought him into this world, and God's going to take him out. He's got to walk to Moriah and climb a mountain. He had to go to the land of bitterness. Bitterness. In other words, he was bitter all the way to the country of Moriah. He was bitter. Why? Why? You gave me this son. Why? You promised me that I'd be the father of many nations. You promised me that I'd have as many as the stars in the sky. When he came out of that tent after God told him, you're going to be a father of many nations. He didn't believe. He giggled and said, I'm so old. But when he got out of the tent, right, girls? When he came out of that tent and he looked up in the sky and he saw the stars in the sky, the Holy Spirit moved in his heart and said, see, those are your children. You were there, Catherine. He saw you go, oh, there's Catherine. Oh, there's Sarah. Oh, there's Jacob. Oh, there's Ken. All the stars in the sky he saw, and he believed. He believed. You've got to get to the point where you believe the most impossible things in the universe. You need to always say, here I am, no matter if you have to sacrifice. I'll tell you a story real quick. When I came and decided to finally give it up and follow Jesus, mind you, I was baptized, but I still was stepping in the world. Ron and I got baptized. Martha and I got baptized. Dr. Kelly called me one morning. I love Dr. Kelly and Miss Bev. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. My family's all here. The one thing he said to me on the phone was, Nita, are you willing to give up everything in your life? Everything. Absolutely. Your checkbook, your kids, your little camper, your home. Are you willing to give it all up for Jesus? And in 3 seconds, I went from one end of the universe and back. The Holy Spirit was so powerful. I knew that if I did not say yes that second, it was over. And I had to commit to Christ that second. There comes a time in your life where you've got to say, here I am, and let everything in your life go. Our sister, she's not here. Wendy, is Wendy here? Wendy had her house broken into. She had her truck stolen. And last night we had to pray for her. Can you imagine going in your house and everything's in shambles and every precious thing in your life is gone? Your truck's gone. We've got to get to the point where we can let go every worldly possession. Hello? Hello? Anybody there? You still holding on? I said to Dr. Kelly on the phone, yes, I am ready. Give it up for Jesus. Amen? Amen. And that's what, for 3 days, what else is 3 days? I heard somebody. Jesus, what? Jesus being in the grave 3 days. He walked, and he carried every piece of anger in his heart and mind. Confused? Is God a God of confusion? No, he was confused. What is going on? He couldn't understand. He climbed that mountain. Amen. When you climb that mountain, you keep going, and something happens, and everything gets heavier and heavier. That 3-pound thing becomes 300 pounds. Am I wrong? It's painful hiking up mountains. I can't stand it. But it was the only class available, mountain climbing, so I had to climb the mountains. Oh, mercy. So he climbed that mountain. And he told his servants, the two guys that were with him, he said, dude, we'll be back. My son and I will be back. He came the third day. He got up and he said, God is going to bring him back to me. He's going to come alive again. Somehow, some way, I'm trusting in God 100%. And he spoke with his tongue. Even though they were servants, he spoke out into the universe. My son and I are going to come back. Woo! I don't know about you guys. That's good news. You have to get to the point. Will you come out of that grave? Yeah. Yes, sir. Get out of that grave. Give it to Jesus and trust in him with all your heart. Because you know what? When you walk out that door, it might be the last time we get to be together. It might be the last day you ever have a home. With the things happening in our life, you say, of course it's not going to happen. Oh, really? God sent prophets. God sent prophets for generations, warning us. I have 50 Bibles in my house, and I never touched one of them for years. You have to have the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that's going to strengthen you. You know, Ephesians chapter 6 says that put on the whole armor of God, and he gave you a weapon, one weapon. One weapon we have to fight the devil who attacks you, who puts you in bondage, who puts you into addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or swearing or hating, whatever. One thing, one weapon, and that's the Word of God. We have a women's Bible study, and we went through Isaiah 54:17. And it ends, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Any tongue in the court that comes against me, God himself will judge. No weapon formed against me. That's our weapon. When we say just something like that, it's powerful. Those are words of God Almighty. Those are words that scare off the demons. Come on. There's demons that attack you every day, but we don't want to talk about it. But you better get it straight. You're going to be attacked till the end, and it's going to get worse. If you don't know the Word of God, you're going down. Did you hear me? You're going down. So here's the story. It's a true story. I don't know the names of the guys, okay? Happened in Alaska. Two lawyers went to the Aleutian Islands for a court battle. And Kasha's going to laugh at me because I can't tell stories. And she heard it, so I will try my best to tell you the story. These attorneys were at the airport, and this pastor came up to them and said, "Hey, why don't you ride with me in my little airplane?" And they just went, "Oh, that's okay." He goes, "But I could save you money. You know, just put that ticket down and you could use it some other time. Come with me." And the attorney said, "I don't know what made me say this, but I said okay when I did not want to go with this guy. No way, Jose." So they're in the Aleutian Islands, and he says, "Oh, the plane was shiny. The plane started up really nice," because everybody has Cessnas. What do you call those airplanes? Those little Cessnas. Everybody seems to have a Cessna up in Alaska. There's more Cessnas up there than LA has. And so here's this pastor, and he starts up this airplane, and they're going off, and all of a sudden, there's all these gray clouds. And the pastor goes, "Oh," he turns around and he looks at these two attorneys, and he goes, "I forgot to tell you, I start to pass out when there's clouds." They're 10,000 feet in the sky. He goes, "What?" And all of a sudden, this is a true story. All of a sudden, the pilot's eyes start rolling back in his head, and he passes out. And there's these two attorneys sitting in the airplane. They have no idea what to do. And the one guy, he says, "Hey, oh, and I forgot to tell you, they prayed." He goes, "Boy, I didn't want to get in that airplane, but I prayed with the pilot, and we prayed. I prayed for 8 minutes. They got on the thing. He goes, hey, we need help. Our pilot, he passed out. We know nothing about airplanes. Help. And somebody answered. It was a Fargo 747 pilot, and he goes, "What did you say? You don't know how to drive? There's nobody there to run the airplane?" He goes, "Nope, nobody. We don't know nothing about airplanes." He goes, "Whoa." He said, "I'm on my way to Japan with cargo, but I'll stay in the vicinity and get you to Anchorage." And so he said, "Okay." He goes, "Just hang in there and don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just hang in there." And so here they go. Anchorage calls and says, "You know, is this the people who have no pilot to run your airplane?" And he goes, "That's right. We have no knowledge of airplanes. And our pilot has passed out." And they go, "Okay, let me tell you something. This is Anchorage at the airport." He said, "Listen, it is my job to get you back safe. You are 4 minutes away from crashing into a mountain. If you don't want to die, you're going to listen to every word I say, and you're not going to look at the storm that's around you. Come on, people. Isn't that what the word says? That's right. The word says go straight into that storm. Don't look to the left or to the right because Jesus Christ is with you and he's going to take you. He said, so if you want to live, you're going to listen to every word I have to say. Four minutes from a mountain. And the pilot, or the Anchorage terminal people actually said, you're going to die if you don't listen to me. He said, okay, you're going to follow everything I say, and we're going to get you through this. It's going to take an hour and a half of storm. But you can do it. You can do it. For an hour and a half, they listen to his voice. And they get to the Anchorage airport. And he says, okay. He goes, I want to tell you. Now listen to me clearly. Don't look at anything. Don't look outside. Just listen to me. And he gave him directions on how to land the plane. He says, you're going to come across and you're going to see lights on the runway. And when you get lower in elevation, when you look down, those lights are going to be a cross. And you're going to do exactly what I said, and you're going to go into that cross. And that's exactly what he did. He followed directions. Even though his anticipation and anxiety wanted to do what he wanted to do. Because when you get in an airplane, you get all messed up. Upside down is upside right. Upside right is upside down. You have to have instruments. Here, they didn't know how to run a plane, so they had to listen. The Bible says, listen to the word of God. Listen to my voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. The voice is the word of God. It's the weapon that we have to use against the darkness of life. We must be obedient, and we must listen to the word of God. We must hear the voice. Don't look at the storm. Don't look to the left, and don't look to the right. Don't look at your kids and what they're doing. Don't read the newspaper. Don't listen to the news. Don't look at all that stuff. Keep your eyes focused. And listen to the voice, amen? And that's exactly what Abraham did. Those 3 days walking, he heard voices. Do you think Satan had a heyday with Abraham? Oh. Satan had a heyday. He had a heyday. And let me tell you, what about the fourth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. Do you think Satan used that against Abraham? You stupid fool. Your God is saying kill your son when the commandments say thou shalt not kill. Is that justification for Satan to say that? I mean, that's what it says. And yet God is saying kill your kid. Satan, you need to know the voice of God, or else you're going to mess up. And the road is going to get very, very bumpy. what's happening on the other side of the world is going to start happening here. But worse, because other countries hate us. And I'm scaring you, maybe. I'm putting fear in you. Whatever they say. But you know what? That's what the Bible says. Listen to the voice. Amen. Learn his voice. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Trust and obey. Trust God. Trust him. When you follow Jesus and you trust and obey, do you know that Abraham became so wealthy that the heathens bowed down to him? When you follow Jesus, God gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, something the world doesn't have, but you can have it all. Trust and obey. Know his voice. That's what I got to say today. You might have to go to Moriah, but don't let it come out of your mouth. You got 3 days to think about it and make a choice. Amen? You got to climb that mountain, knowing that you're going to have to do a sacrifice that's going to hurt you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, there's people in here that might not agree with anything I said, Lord. There's people here whose hearts are touched. There's people here who want more of you. There's people here who say, here I am. Here I am. What's left of me, take it. If you're one of those people, repeat after me, everybody who loves Jesus. Lord, here I am. I'm nothing. Without you. You died on the cross for my sins. And I thank you. Come into my heart and live. I can't do it without you. I've tried to be good. But it just doesn't work. Because I walk to the land of Moriah. And I have to climb mountains. But I know, Lord. You love me. That I'm special to you. And you're going to take care of me. All the days of my life. I got one weapon. And that's the word of God. I trust you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Have a great Sabbath. There's lunch out there for you. Let's celebrate the Sabbath today.